Let's go. Okay, everybody. This is going to be a really fun day today. I have to tell you, I am so excited. We need to cut some of that music off. Because remember, this is going to be a fun time. All right, I'm so excited today because we have Mr. Rick Becker in the house. And he is a man that I have to say is one that I admire. And I'll be very open about saying that because as another independent, he's throwing the gauntlet down for the established two-party system and saying something's wrong here. So, Mr. Becker, if you could do me a favor, would you do me a quick little bio of who you are and exactly why you have chosen, as I, to go independent in this race against Mr. Hoven?
Yeah, so, well, I'm originally from Mandan, and so grew up here, went to UND for undergrad, med school, and had to go out for further training, but I'm a plastic surgeon. I came back as soon as I was done with all my training, came back to Bismarck and have been here for a full 25 years in my practice. I'm also involved with some other businesses. My wife and I currently own a bar downtown. In 2012, I was first elected to the State House of Representatives as a state legislator and have been now for 10 years. I'm retiring at the end of November. I was looking at, I ran against John Hoven at the Republican State Convention. I narrowly lost, and I was not going to pursue anything further. But the problem is that although I considered my race over, America's problems in D.C. aren't over. And so, yeah, I stand proudly as an independent, but primarily, you know, I'm perfectly content to stand on the North Dakota Republican Party platform. It's a great platform. The problem isn't the platform. The problem is the people who are being elected as Republicans.
I have to
agree.
Because
they don't stand for the platform.
I have to agree.
So I've always said principle over party, principle first. A political party is just a means to an end. The end, because you identify as principles that are important, that are good for society, that are good for people, not only people's prosperity, but people's dignity.
Yes.
And you find those in a conservative platform. So the goal is to enact policies that further those principles. A party is simply a way to help you do that. The problem is that politicians put party above principle. And frankly, most of them don't even really have any. They don't have foundation. I don't want to say they're unprincipled people. I think the vast majority of people elected, Democrats and Republicans, have good intentions. They want to do good, so on and so forth. But what we need are people that have good foundational principles that stand by those principles no matter what. They can't be bought by lobbyists. They can't be cajoled and coerced by leadership of their party because they have to, you know, fall in line.
Well, so, one of the things I find that's interesting that I've seen with you and me is we both tried to go through the hoops that the Republican Party set up for us because I also went to the nominating committee and yada yada.
Yeah.
But the problem is they keep changing the rules and the rules are getting tighter and tighter and tighter to eliminate the fact that the party is turning into in North Dakota anyway, is turning into almost tyranny where you will follow the line and toe the line and do what we say or you're out. And that's the way I felt. And I think that's the same thing that happened to you at the nominating convention because I heard busloads pulled up.
Yeah. Yeah, the Hoven camp had to pull out every trick in the book, which is really saying something, right? Because he's believed to be the most popular politician North Dakota's had in the last 75 years. But they had to pull out every trick, and including bringing busloads of people from Fargo, which, you know, I mean, it may be a little, it may sound unseemly, but it's not against the rules.
No, it is not. I'll agree.
And you're right. The political, it's an establishment type of game. They want to protect the club that they're part of.
Yes.
The club that they see the value in being a member of the club. So they protect the club. Now, the good news is that I think that the North Dakota Republican Party is on the verge of becoming something much different, much better, much more of how it's supposed to be. Conservatives are taking over several districts, or have taken over several districts around the state. And if we can gain another 8 districts, then conservatives, grassroots principled people, will have control of the state party.
But they're working against that. In fact,
absolutely.
I just saw where they're doing it, where the guy that's the head of the district is going to be the one that picks the delegates that go to the conventions. And I mean they're setting things up so tightly that the average Republican citizen, whether they, to me, I looked right at him the other day and I said, basically, you want me for my money. Other than that, sit down and shut up.
Yeah. Well, that's very true. But it's not, that's not a new thing. And that's actually how Hovind won the convention. You see, at the end of the 47 district conventions, I had more delegates than he did, far more.
Uh-huh.
But there were a lot of empty slots. And then, as you pointed out, the district chairman can fill the empty slots however he or she wants. And so they hand select the people that are going to vote for Hovind. So as the 2 weeks leading up to the convention passed by, my number stayed the same, mm-hmm. and Hovind's numbers kept increasing to the point that he then had about 180 more than me when the day came. But
well,
that's what I'm getting at, Kit, is that if we take over more, because there's reorganizations coming in next spring. We have several of the districts already. When I say we have, what I mean is people are leading those districts who are principled conservatives. If we can help principled conservatives take over another 8 to 10 districts, then we control the party.
Well, from your lips to God's ears, because I know that there have been several districts, mine included, where conservatives attempted to do just that, and mm-hmm. the hijinks that ensued to make sure that the voices and stuff weren't heard. And it's also happening in the Democratic side, because Mr. Haugen was basically told, you did everything right, you're a great person, but gosh, you know, you just don't really fit the person we're looking for, so we're going to dump you. We want you to resign, because we don't really want to formally dump you, but we want to put Little Miss America in your place. I mean, this is craziness. It's like the average people out there don't matter anymore.
Right. Yeah, it was that was horrible what they did to Mark Haugen. He's a great guy.
I bet he is.
The problem is that he doesn't believe in abortion. And that alone was enough for them to create a mechanism by which he would be out and someone who would be pro-abortion would get in. It's phenomenal to me.
But in the meantime, the people that were backing him and stuff, to my estimation, my opinion, the Democratic Party just said, the heck with you.
Yes.
The heck with what you feel, the heck with what you think. Once again, give us your money, sit on and shut up.
Right. Well, right. This is an issue the Democrat Party has in general. But what they've said very loudly and clearly is if you are pro-life, there is no place for you in the Democrat Party.
Wow.
That's what they've said.
Wow. That's just that to make all of this about one issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's an impactful issue. God knows. But politics and our lives are about so much more than one issue. And that's the problem, is the federal, especially, because I know Hovind and the rest of them and are getting hung up on this one issue thing. And the one thing I want to ask you about is, because I know Hovind is worried, and he should be, is the one thing that they seem to be in lockstep about, and I will wear my little tin hat Johnnily here, is the fact that there was no shenanigans regarding the voting for President Trump and Biden and stuff, and that it has no carryover into the state elections and stuff. And they're speaking lockstep with saying nothing to see here, nothing to see here. And there's been enough information and research that has come out where I would at least appreciate them saying, you know, maybe we need to look into this to assure that future elections are at least not questioned as much by the people because they seem more secure. And everybody just seems to want to ignore that. They don't want to touch it. What would be your response to somebody saying, you know, something just doesn't seem right here?
Well, yeah, and I had, you know, people feel very strongly about this issue. And I have a lot of people that have asked me about it, and they want, they really specifically want my position to be that we need to correct the great injustice done in the 2020 election.
Not happening.
And well, that's what, right. That's not what happening. My position is.
Yeah.
And but they're so strong about it that if you don't say, yes, we have to do that, they won't support you. Here's my position. I think there was a lot of fraud. I think it was widespread. I think there are numerous instances. But we're not going to get it figured out. I mean, my gosh, it's going to be 2023 here. You cannot change. It's like, you know, we can't change the president. The election of Theodore Roosevelt.
No,
it's a done deal. Now, I wish that the Supreme Court would have taken up some of those challenges.
As do I.
And then we would have more answers. But they didn't. And we don't have a time machine. But I think that we need to look forward. And it sounds like that's your tone as
yes.
well. We need to look forward. We have to acknowledge that there was widespread fraud. And we have to correct those things. And there are a couple of ways to do that. Number one, we have to stop what the Democrats want to do, which is basically they want to every possible way there is to increase fraud, they want to put into law.
Exactly.
So we have to stop that. And it looks like they're not going to get that through before next year. And the Republicans will take over majority. And so they'll never get it through. I was very concerned about that. But two, we have to enforce the Constitution. And states are the ones that are in charge of the election.
Yes.
That's what it says in the Constitution. The legislatures of the states make the laws. The Secretary of State and the governor can't just willy-nilly change the state's election laws. That would be unconstitutional. So there's that. The third thing is, I believe, really I do, and it can be done. I don't know why there's resistance. Just move to a paper ballot.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes.
That's it. It's so easy. And so that's what I would be working for.
And it's worked for years before we had all the fancy dancy machines. It worked. And there was no confusion or question about is it connected to the internet? Is there algorithms? Yada, 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 and all this other stuff.
Yep.
And if for no other reason, Cramer and Hoeven should be saying, for the people's security of mind, there should be something being done going forward. But it's like they're just... Every seated politician that I know of, clear up to that level, is going, don't want to look at it. Don't want to look at it. And that to me is, that's
well,
questionable.
They want to stay as far away as possible from anything mm-hmm. that is contentious. They don't, because they don't have a spine. They don't want to risk making any of the voters angry. That's why you hear the platitudes, especially from John Hoeven. Like, I mean, here's John Hoeven. Oh, North Dakota's great. Don't we have the best in the world? Blank, you know, fill in the blank.
The blank.
It doesn't matter.
Yep.
Teachers, doctors, firemen. It doesn't matter. Oh, we've got the best. I mean, I heard him talk about why the drone program up in Grand Forks and Grand Sky and all of that is so great. And he said, because we have the best partners. Like, what the hell does that even mean?
It means nothing.
So these guys talk in platitudes. They won't take positions. Hopefully we're going to find out at this next election, but I think that's what the people are saying.
Well, I'm going to do a real quick commercial here for Southtown Poorhouse, because every day is a great day at Southtown Poorhouse. You can stop in for your favorite drinks and, of course, happy hour. You can buy one app and get one half off, and every day from 6 to 8. And you can't forget about the $3 burgers on Tuesdays and the awesome steak specials on Thursdays from 5 to 8. Make sure to check out SouthtownPoorhouseGF.com to find out when your favorite band is playing live. Every day is a great day at Southtown Poorhouse, 2015 Library Circle, next to the Grand Cities Mall. Open Tuesday through Saturday from 4 p.m. to 2 a.m. They're looking to hire. And on September 30th, Friday, we have Face for Radio. And on October 1st, Saturday, it's Kiss and Company for the band. So get out there to Southtown Poorhouse. Okay, you mentioned something else that really interests me. And the fact that they talk in platitudes is hysterical, but when it concerns something that's near and dear to Grand Forks, which is Fufang, and it's actually involving more than Grand Forks because I don't live in Grand Forks. I live in District 20, which is further south. And I run across a lot of people that are very upset about Fufang, the way it's being handled, and the potential security there. And I was very interested in the fact that Hovind and Kramer were very, very busy saying, nothing to see here, everything's fine, don't worry about it. Pish posh, mm-hmm. until it became very apparent that this went national, number one, and number two, that this groundswell behind it was exceedingly larger than what the city commission up here would like to say, which is two or three just malcontents. And so, I'd like to know your feelings on not just Fufang, but things that are going to be happening similar to that across the United States, because, of course, if you get in, you're going to not just be North Dakota senator, you're going to be a federal senator.
Right. Well, I think Fufang is a beautiful, hard-hitting example that doesn't hit any closer to home than what it does. And it's an example of a failure of leadership of an elected official. Now, so let me go through the time. I have been a vocal opponent of the Fufang deal as soon as I learned about it in February. I've been on TV. I've written about it. I've talked about it, social media posts. There are so many reasons to be against it.
Yes,
there's
I agree.
There's the security concerns with the Air Force Base, the drones. Okay, but there's also a concern about putting China in the middle of our food supply chain.
Yep.
Okay, that's another. Then there's the concern about dealing with a country that has such a horrible human rights record, okay?
Yeah.
Dealing with a country who overtly is stealing our intellectual property and is spying on us. And then lastly, it involves a tremendous amount of subsidies, taxpayer subsidies.
Yes.
There are all of these reasons and more to be against the Fufang deal. So it was in the works for a long time before we started hearing about it in February. John Hovind knew about it a long time
exactly.
before February.
Yep.
Now, John Hovind has a strong record of loving and working with China.
I know.
I give as case in point, number one, Your Honor, may I present in evidence. In John Hovind, it was his program working with China and Confucius Institute to bring Chinese people into our higher education program. It ended in the diploma mill scandal of Dickinson State University.
Yep.
Huge scandal. Someone ended up committing suicide. People were fired. There was fraud. Hey, that's working with China. Well, that wasn't enough. So John Hovind decided it's going to be a great idea to work with China, partner up with them for their help in developing a coal-to-liquid plant. So first he's interested in putting China in higher ed. Then he's interested in putting China in the middle of our energy supply.
Yeah.
Okay. So that didn't go anywhere, but they did spend hundreds of millions of taxpayer dollars on it before it ended up just finally not coming to fruition. Now we've got China in the middle of food supply, and he thinks it's a fantastic deal. There was a lot of stuff that went on behind the scenes, and these people, including John Hovind, knew about it. Now, it starts coming out public in February, more public in February. That's where I learned about it. We had people on the national scene that were not getting any help from the likes of John Hovind. They were reaching out to me. They're looking for anyone who will help get the word out about how dangerous this is, because they didn't have that help with the elected officials like the senators from North Dakota. Well, Kevin Kramer did come out against it around February, or at least acknowledged that there was a significant security concern.
He wanted to do more research.
But at least
he did something.
I mean, there's a world of difference between Cramer and Hoeven on this issue. And so I don't want to, you know, we need to acknowledge that at least Kevin came out and said, there's security concerns here we need to look into.
Okay.
And he did that around probably, I think, the end of February. Well, John was all in favor of it, but January, February, March, April, not a word. I'm out. I'm just singing from the rooftop saying, there's a problem here, folks. We need to put an end to it. We need to support the people of Grand Forks. Finally, end of April, beginning of May, John Hoeven finally somehow works up enough spine where he says, you know what? This is a local issue. The people of Grand Forks, the city commission, Grand Forks, he just said, needs to make sure, do their due diligence and make sure that security concerns are addressed with Fufeng. Well, excuse me, Senator, but concerns for spying on our country next to a military base is not an issue that a city commission should be dealing with. It's something that you should be dealing
with. Yes, thank you.
That was his response. We have his response on multiple occasions during that time with voicemails, with TV interviews. That's what he could muster. Now, thanks to the city of Grand Forks, the people, the grassroots conservatives, it finally got enough traction and it caught national attention. And finally, the blowback, the political blowback to this was so strong that Hoeven, because he twists in the wind, he points whichever way the political winds blow. Finally, in July, he said, you know what? Yeah, we need to take a look at this. There are security concerns. And we need to have a CFIUS review. And then I believe it was in August he finally had the gumption to say, we probably don't want China doing this. So there's where we have, Kit, an example of a complete failure of leadership. The people of North Dakota pushed Hoeven to do the right thing. Hoeven should have been out front, sounding the alarm, leading the people of North Dakota, protecting them. If the people of Grand Forks hadn't stood up, Kit, I guarantee you, this would be a done deal. Hoeven would have been happy as a clam. Burgum would have been happy as a clam. And you guys pushed them to do the right thing. The problem is we need elected officials that don't need to be pushed to do the right thing.
Well, the thing is as you said it really, really well, have a spine.
Yes.
I mean, if all you're worried about is getting reelected, which is what I'm getting from a lot of people that are in office and have been in office for a while, they're no longer worried about serving the people. They're no longer worried about doing what's right. They're worried about doing what's expedient, what will get me reelected, what will keep everybody off my case so I don't have to work so hard. So I can trot myself out right before an election, go, ta-da, send out all those wonderful, nice little flyers and just beautiful things that everybody loves and go, elect me. And then I go back to my hole and continue to make money hand over fist every other way that I can.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's a reason we only hear from John every 6 years.
Well, and he was at the nominating committee and stuff, and he showed up at District 20, which was, I was frankly shocked. That's how I really knew he was running scared. Because it was almost a come to Jesus moment. He was standing at that pulpit just a preaching away. And I looked at my husband and my husband looked at me and we went, this man's terrified. And actually we were just sitting in the back shaking. I mean, there was the most emotion I'd seen from him ever. And I knew it was fear. It was just peeling off of him.
Well, exactly. It's so funny. I've heard that so many times. And the reason is I started out my campaign back in, end of January, saying we need someone with passion and we need a fighter. And clearly, milquetoast John Hoeven is not that. His response was then to come out like he has. You've never seen him with emotion.
No.
And so this is planned and manufactured. The issue is that it doesn't come across as passion. It comes across either as anger or fear or a mixture of both.
Yeah. He's not really good at it. He's really good at repeating rote things. You can watch it. Him. You can tell when he's speaking off the cuff and when he's basically reciting in his head. And he recites in his head all the time. He's got his talking points.
Oh yeah.
And that's where his comfort zone is. And you get him out of his comfort zone, and the man's a mess.
Well, the thing is, as everyone thinks, that he's extraordinarily popular because he wins by large margins. What I keep pointing out is that he has never had anyone challenge him from his right.
Yes, I agree.
And so he's been able to just ride the R, basically, which ironically is something he chose to take on when he ran for governor, but before that was a Democrat.
Yeah, I was going to say there's a little history there that doesn't quite add up. And I see that all the way through a lot of people that are running for office, and et cetera, that a lot of them have Democrat roots that just seem to sway over to the Republican side because they found it convenient that an R would get them elected. And I'm seeing where the term rhino comes to mind a lot in North Dakota right now.
Yeah. Well, it's an interesting thing because it happens in other states as well. When you have a supermajority of one political party, what happens is that political party becomes much, much weaker as far as its conservatism, if it's Republicans. So when you have any of the states, Wyoming, I believe, too, when you look at the voting record of the Republicans in North Dakota and compare that strictly to the voting record of Republicans in states where they barely have a majority or if they're in the minority, mm-hmm. they are far more conservative than North Dakota Republicans. Far more. And that's, I mean, there's data, it's one of those things where it's not scientific to a 100% degree because you have to go through bills. But there is, for instance, American Conservative Union. They have
yes.
big staff that go through that. And North Dakota Republicans, as a group, as a whole, we're not conservative.
Our voting record, obvious. The voting record for the Republicans, including in my district, is dismal. Out of 100 points, the two guys I'm running against, one scored 15, the other one scored 11. Out of 100 possible points for being a conservative, and 100 was what you wanted. And, yeah. I mean, that is just as a conservative, I'm sitting here going, I can't live with this. I can't just sit back and go vote for the R anymore. And that's,
well, this is a good... Kit, this is a good moment for me to toot my horn.
Go ahead. Please do.
I was the only North Dakotan to get a 100 this last year.
There, you see, that's exactly what I'm getting at. And that's because you're willing to stand up. And, you know, pleasing everybody is impossible. Pissing people off is a piece of cake. But you can't. You have to stand by the principles and you have to stand by what the people want right. you to do. And that's not easy. And nobody seems to want to do that in politics anymore. They're all just out after the holy grail of getting reelected.
Yeah, exactly. You're exactly right. That's the when you don't care about being reelected. And when I say don't care, what I mean, you obviously were there to do a job and serve the people. And we want to get reelected so we can continue. But it's not of paramount importance to it because once we compromise our values in at all to get reelected, we've sort of rendered the entire point of taking on this job. We've just completely neutered it. There's no point in being there anymore. And for those of us that are principled, if by voting according to your principles causes you to not be reelected,
yep,
then that's
so be
that's
it.
The city. I guess the people aren't with you, and you shouldn't be in office.
I agree with you.
Right?
Here's the deal. I need you now to, we're going to, because of Zoom, we're going to be switching over. I'm going to do an ad right now, and I want you to go to that second link, and then we're going to come back and finish the last half hour up here with Rick Becker, and this has been just a great half hour for me, and I'm looking forward to the next one. But what we're doing next is we are going to go to executive properties.
Professionals at Executive Properties Construction have over 30 years of experience. We pride ourselves on doing quality work at a reasonable rate for our customers. Just check out what past customers have said in our amazing Google reviews. Then contact us today to get started on a bid for your next project. You can call us at 701-330-1273 or email info@executiveproperties.org. And check it out. We're hiring. We're building our new team for snow removal for this upcoming season. Contact Jess for more info at jess@executiveproperties.org. Our team of...
Okay, here we go. Are we ready there, Paul? All right. The thing, I guess, that I'm also concerned about is the fact that, well, as we always like to say, follow the money. And being an independent, I'm sure you also realize that without the Republican money machine behind you, the race is going to be very interesting because the media is not really receptive to giving us any coverage whatsoever. We don't have the money to throw the flyers at everybody. How are you finding your campaign is doing?
Well, it's hard to say, Kit, because we don't have the money to spend on polling.
Yeah, I know.
So my approach is that we just go full bore, hard as we can, get the message out with whatever money we have. The more donations I get, immediately we just start, we just add it on to various ad buys that we're doing.
Well,
I don't know the details, but I understand that Hovind's got a poll out that, you know, these polls aren't really necessarily for the purpose of getting information.
No.
It's under the guise of getting information. So this poll about me, I guess, asks people if they're likely to vote for me, but it prefaces it saying, I don't know, because in light of the fact that Representative Becker hates puppies, does that make you more or less likely to vote for him, right? And so I guess it's a several questions like this. I don't know what they are yet. I just heard about it today. But that's where money comes in, right? Number one, it takes a lot of money to do that poll. Number two, it takes a lot of money to try and counter that poll.
Yes, it does. And those polls are set up also to have people go, oh, well, this guy's the popular one, so I'm going to vote for him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and what they do is they twist things. And probably my guess is the poll isn't from John Hovind's campaign. It's from big PAC money supporting John Hovind. So that's kind of where it comes in. I have to hope that the majority of voters are going to see through that stuff and that they'll actually want to be informed voters. And that's a big ask. But I'm hoping and I'm thinking the reason why it could potentially be different this year is because of how bad things are in Washington, D.C., and how horribly wrong the direction of the country is, that the standard way of winning, which is what Hovind has relied on his whole political life, no longer works.
Well, I just got a flyer in the mail, and it came from a PAC. It says, you know, not affiliated, yada, yada. And it talked about all the things he's working on. And this is something that has really bothered me a lot about our politicians. We were so close. Oh, by golly, we were just so close. If you just keep voting me in, we're going to get it this next time. And then it's the same story, and it's the same story. And, you know, I don't care how much you're working on something. I want to know what you've done. And if it comes down to that, I don't think their records are very strong.
No. Well, and if we're talking about Hovind, I've gone through all his bills. And this is what's interesting, too. The PAC working for Hovind, they go through my record. And as I've indicated, I've had 100%. I have a great voting record. But what they'll do is twist it.
Yes.
To try and mean something else. And it's not. What I've done is gone through just straight out. And he's got a lot of good votes. I mean, if you're in for 12 years, you should have a lot of good votes.
One or two, yeah, at least, right?
He has a lot of horrible votes. And so, for instance, he says, we have to cut down on inflation. We have to cut spending. I've got his spending record right here. 12 years of being a huge spender. He says, I'm all in favor of a balanced budget. I have his record right here where he has voted against every amendment that would have provided a balanced budget.
Yep.
I mean, this guy is the consummate politician. He sounds good if you're not informed.
Well, the thing is that I always love is they always go fall back on going, oh, well, look at the money we're bringing into North Dakota, the federal money. And I'm like, dude, that's taking money out of my right pocket and my left. Because it averages out to nothing if we don't get this damn spending under control. You guys, oh, pat me on the back because I'm bringing that federal money to North Dakota. You're still messing up the entire economy, which in the long run is going to kill me.
Yeah. Well, and that's what Hovind's been all about. And my thing at the convention was people have a choice. Between the two of us, they have a choice. Are they more interested in bringing home the bacon or are they more interested in saving America?
Bringing home the
pork. That's what the vote is.
The pork.
That's what the vote is.
Yeah, because it ain't bacon anymore. It's pork.
Yeah, well, it absolutely is. But the thing is that the people that are getting some of that pork and think that they need to have Hovind in to keep getting the pork, What they fail to understand, and you just sort of alluded to, is that there are 20 other pork programs, and they are also paying for those.
Yep.
So in the end, politicians like him are killing the economy. They are directly responsible for a good portion of the inflation we have. Even Kelly Armstrong, I think he probably wishes he could take it back. Even he said that the Biden bipartisan fake green infrastructure deal was bad for North Dakota and contributed to inflation. That is the bill that John Hoeven crossed over and joined the Democrats to give Biden his biggest win of his presidency.
And that's the one that's going to ultimately put some of the final nails in the coffin, because that was a bad piece of legislation dressed up and taken to prom. And I tell you what, I took a look at that, and when I looked at who voted for that, I was like, are you kidding me?
Yep.
But go ahead.
There were 19 Republican senators that voted for that.
Yes.
And I think it's Heritage Action. It's a national conservative organization. And they don't have any skin in the game for one senator versus another. They rank them all. And of the 19 Republican senators, I believe 15 or 17 had an F for liberty rating, including John Hoeven.
Jeez.
And then I think there was one or two that had a D rating and one that had a C rating. So that's the company that John Hoeven keeps. Are big spenders, rhinos, call them what you will, the type of politician we need to get out of D.C.
Well, I got to agree with you there, because we're on a slippery slope and it's sliding fast. And I've heard you on the radio a couple of times when you're being interviewed. And by the way, you do marvelous. And the thing that has kind of bothered me is I've heard several people sometimes mention that you're going to be doing nothing more than splitting the vote. What do you say to that?
So the concern is that I will take votes away from Hoeven and allow Katrina Christensen, the Democrat, to get in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that generally is a true statement in other states. Okay, in North Dakota right now, we have to look. I mean, it's not just wishful thinking. We can look at the vote tallies over the last 15 years. The Democrats, and I'm going to say Heidi Heitkamp is the exception. And I said, if Heidi Heitkamp enters the race, I'm going to bow out.
Okay.
Because if she entered the race, I believe we would have split the vote and she would have gotten in.
Okay.
But she's not in the race. You have a brand new person who's never been in politics, has never run a race, right? So what you have is the history. And when you look at what the Democrat got the last time Hoeven ran, it was 18%. The time before that, it was 22%. If you look at what they get on average, it's in the 20s.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say Katrina does really good for a first timer and she gets in the mid 20s, let's say 25%. Well, that's not enough. Even if John and I split the vote evenly, I get 38%, he gets 37%, Katrina gets 25%. You see, she can't get in.
Mm-hmm.
She would have to perform so ridiculously well. So I'm not saying it's impossible, but I'm saying it's extremely unlikely that people in North Dakota have a rare opportunity to vote their heart, vote their conscience, and not worry about whether they're letting a Democrat get in.
Exactly. And there is something else that I have found very interesting myself, and that is the fact that the reason the Democrats aren't putting forth a lot of people to run that are, you know, have bad history behind them, and also the reason that there's not a lot of Democrats voting for them, is because they're happy with the people that they have and what they're doing, which leads me to go, then that means the Republican that's in office is literally a Democrat.
Right. And that's the thing, is that the when you have people like Doug Burgum and John Hoeven in office, the Democrats are content.
Yes.
They're close enough, right? Now, what's ironic, and most people don't think about this, is those people, and in the primaries, the Democrats readily admit that they cross over and vote for or vote in the Republican column instead of staying in the Democrat column so that they can help the more moderate fake rhino Republicans win.
Correct.
What they don't realize they're doing is actually hurting their own cause. Because if there's no point in being a Democrat, if there's no differentiation, then the party is just going to be rendered even more obsolete than it already is, if that's possible. If you had someone in there that was strongly conservative, that might actually help the Democrat Party gain some traction a little bit. But I think that's good for North Dakota.
Well, and everything's so diluted.
Yeah. Right now, North Dakotans have a choice between a far-left Democrat Party that doesn't represent them or a Republican Party that is so broad it doesn't actually stand for anything.
Exactly.
Wouldn't it be nice if we could go back to, let's say, the 70s, when there were two distinct parties and they actually meant something and both of them were reasonable?
Yep. That's something I've talked about before. I've said we don't have a two-party system anymore. We have a one-party system.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's not good for the people in North Dakota.
No, it isn't. And it leaves this also why I think people aren't voting. They're going, I have nobody to vote for.
Right.
Because nobody I vote for speaks for me.
Yep, you're exactly right.
And that's part of why I'm also running as an independent like you. And because I'm traditionally say, you know, if you don't vote, you can't bitch. And so I've voted no matter what. But I've gotten to the point now where it's like, I've got nobody. And I can't vote against my conscience.
Yep. I agree.
So
I agree. And that's the same train of thought for me is that when I decided I wasn't, in my mind, going to run in the general.
Yep.
I was sort of like, well, first off, personally, that's a much better choice for me. But... It just kept eating at me. That's like, you know what? There's nobody for people of North Dakota to vote for who are concerned about the direction of America. They have nobody to vote for.
Well, I'll be honest.
So that's why I got in.
Yeah, I'll be honest. When you quote unquote lost the primary and stuff, I just said to my husband, what the hell are we going to do now? Because quite frankly, it left us with nothing. And I don't like not voting, but I've got to the point of my life where I refuse to vote for somebody I don't believe in anymore.
Yep.
And so where do you go from there?
Yeah, it's not good.
It's just terrible. The other thing that I've noticed that has me concerned is that there seems to be a media blackout in many ways for the people that are attempting to run as conservatives / independents and stuff. They don't want to cover you. And if they do cover you, it's with the hidden barbs that come out. For example, I know that there'll be a blogger that shall go unnamed on my program that has basically done a couple of hit pieces on you. And regarding people that had a comment on a social media page and stuff, because if that's the only thing they've got, but I mean, you know, supposedly North Dakota Nice has gone out the window as well the minute you dare to exit the two-party system.
Yeah, they definitely minimize anybody who's not playing mm-hmm. the game. And, you know, so much of the media is owned by just a couple, three different groups. And they really want to keep the status quo. So.
Well, I would assume that they're looking at their pocketbook. And I would assume that also the governor has a lot of pressure that can be applied to a various stages of the media because they know what side their bread's buttered on. And therefore, because I know, quite frankly, the people in my district and I know the people that are, you know, looking after you and stuff, they would just like us to go away. And the best way to have somebody go away is to ignore them.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
So if we can get the media to ignore us, then we hopefully will just go away and we don't have to be factored in.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've noticed, surprisingly enough, nobody wants to debate you.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Isn't
it? Katrina's interested in debating, but John is not. And so, there's a debate already a week from today.
Okay.
And John declined.
Did he give a reason?
Yeah. Well, I'm not privy to it. I didn't actually hear it firsthand, but there is a thing going on in Grand Forks on the 4th and 5th for the drones and Grand Sky and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be at that speaking. So that's on Tuesday and Wednesday. But in my mind, you're not in D.C. You're in North Dakota. You can go to a debate the night before in Washburn.
Hop, skip, and a jump.
And then just drive to Grand Forks. Yep. But he declined. And I believe it was for that reason, which is really, really a sad reason. Because that whole week, Senate is in recess. So it's not as though he has to be in D.C. on Monday, which those lazy buggers rarely do anything on Mondays anyway. They fly in on Monday.
Well, yeah, that we have to gather. I've got one more ad to do for us, and then we've got 15 minutes on the home front. So what we're looking at right now is Life Vantage, where I need to say, do you take collagen? Have you heard about the one-of-a-kind collagen? This collagen not only replenishes your body, but helps your body create its own collagen using natural products and maintains it. To find out more about this amazing product, please contact Stephanie Kranelka and Life Vantage. For more information, check out stephk.lifevantage.com or text 701-230-9306 or email skbesthealth@gmail.com so you can biohack your life with Life Vantage. You can also click on the link on gfbs.com, which is the station here, and go directly to Life Vantage to take care of your health. Okay, so we've got 15 minutes left. I want to ask you, what is your platform? What is it that Mr. Becker is going to be doing for the people of North Dakota when he gets to Washington?
Well, we first acknowledge that America is heading in the wrong direction, and we have to ask ourselves why and how do we correct that? And that really is going to be the makeup of my platform. First and foremost, we need to curb our spending and we need to balance the budget.
Yep.
That the spending, the debt, that has weakened us on a global scale. It has taken away leverage against hostile nations. It is creating inflation. Inflation is a tax on the poor, on the retired. We have no stability unless we can get finances under control. So that's number one. Number two is going to be the bloated administrative state. Now, there's a couple aspects to that. Number one, we are spending a tremendous amount of taxpayer dollars on agencies we don't need. Agencies that are even being politicized and used against us, like the Department of Justice, the FBI, and so on.
Exactly.
We need to decrease the funding for those. We need to eliminate several agencies, other agencies, including Department of Education. The second part of the administrative state, the deep state, is that these people need to be held accountable. There is no accountability in Washington, D.C., either amongst elected officials or amongst the unelected bureaucrats that are there. Take a look. Case in point, Anthony Fauci. You've got Rand Paul, who is trying to hold him accountable, and he stands there alone. Can you imagine John Hoeven taking the mantle on that?
Never
in a million years.
No.
So that's where I'll be. I want to hold people like Fauci accountable. You can go all the way back to Lois Lerner in the FBI. She's getting a nice retirement pension. She should have gone to jail. You've got Eric Holder with the Fast and Furious fiasco. He should be looking at jail time. There's one, James Comey. Why is nobody in trouble? So anyway, they run just without any regard for Congress. Congress, again, as an aggregate, has no spine. There's no accountability. And then third, we want to look for a way that we can maximize freedom and return power to the states, get away from a strong federal government. That's better for everyone.
Oh, man, I so totally agree, because the way this was designed was the individual states would have the ability to look after their people, which would be better for the federal government. I want to bring up another thing that happened here in North Dakota that kind of has been making a little bit of national news, but not with the mass media. And that's a young 18-year-old gentleman that was run over by a person who thought that the MAGA people were going to be coming after him personally. There was a recent poll that's out that said something like 71% of Democrats actually believe that the MAGA people are going to be amassing and coming after them personally. And this form of rhetoric that has been coming from the left regarding treating those of us who are conservative as not just second-class citizens, but as, and I will quote Mr. Biden, domestic terrorists. And separating the people out like this is, quite frankly, terrifying. It makes me wonder about my safety and yours. What's your feelings on that that is occurring, and can you do anything about it?
Well, that's a good question. The second part, can we do anything about it? I'll answer the first part first. What do I think about it? Well, yeah, I was on Jesse Waters the other night on Fox News, and I got interviewed about this, and my thoughts there are the same. This, I think, is an example of where of the culmination of years of the left trying to vilify and dehumanize the right. Mm-hmm. They consistently are labeling us as racist, homophobic, xenophobic, misogynist. You know, we're everything that's evil. And when you are able to convince a group of people that another group of people is evil, it makes it much, well, number one, it makes it impossible to try and work together. But number two, it gives a sense of a reason of why to hate those evil people, a sense of allowance of committing violence against those people.
It dehumanizes. It dehumanizes. And once you dehumanize someone, they're a target.
Exactly right. And Biden basically tripled down on what the left has been doing for the last couple of decades, standing up there looking like a fascist dictator.
Yep.
And all fascist dictators look for a group of people that they can identify as the problem.
Yep.
That they can unify the rest of the people to go against the problem people. Whether it doesn't matter if it's race, ethnicity,
income,
political affiliation. But in this case, Biden has the MAGAs.
Yep.
And essentially, people are being brainwashed into thinking that anyone who leans conservative is an extremist.
Well, and it's frustrating because it's the same thing that they did with the Jews. It's the same thing that they did in China with they got the college kids and stuff to go against anybody with any money and everything else. And once you do this, how do you convince somebody that, oh, no, never mind, we were wrong? And that, especially when you do with what Biden did, I mean, all Biden needed, first of all, he picked the color red. Coincidence? I don't think so. Let's see. What is the communist color? Could be red. Yes, it could be. And now we have the military standing behind him and everything. Yep. I mean, this was theater and at its best. And if you wanted to, I'm going to use a word I don't like, trigger somebody. I mean, what a perfect show. And I don't know what you can do to fight that because, quite frankly, once you demonize somebody, you got to go work three times as hard to get a gut to take it back.
Yeah. No, yeah, you're absolutely right. There's no easy answer in how we can change things, but what we can do is stop with the rhetoric. Now, how do we do that? We can't force the left to stop. I would love to hear what some solutions are, but we need to have buy-in from the left. We need to have buy-in from the media to say,
yes,
this really is unhealthy. Because, and think, here's the way I have sort of summarized it, in the problem, because people say, well, it's both sides. I would say that it's generally a truthful statement to say that when the right is complaining or going against the left, what they'll say is they're misguided, they're liars, they're stupid, right? Those would be the worst things. Generally, it's about policy. When the right is complaining, that's going to harm the people it's intended to help, right? That's our direction. So worst from the right is the left is stupid. The left, on the other hand, it's all about personal attacks and all about, as you mentioned, dehumanizing. So it's, they hate women, they hate blacks, they hate browns, they hate children, they hate. And so it puts a very evil face. And that's not really what's happening on the right side.
Well, and it's project. I find that at federal politics, I'm seeing a lot of what in psychological terms would be called projection. They're accusing the person that they don't like, that they want to lose, of doing what they're actually doing. It's, I call it the world's largest abusive relationship ever. Because if you've ever been in an abusive relationship, the way that the dynamics work is the abuser accuses the person that's being abused of all of the things that they're actually doing, having the affairs, whatever. And this is exactly what the dynamic that I'm seeing happen. And of course, the person that's being abused sits there and goes, oh, well, if I just love him more, yeah, life will get all better, and then we'll be happy. And it's never going to happen, folks.
Yep. Nope. There is no way we can win that game. We have to somehow change the narrative altogether.
Well, I'm hoping that I have the opportunity to see that you do that. I will tell you, you definitely have my vote, and I will also tell you that you provided me with a great sense of relief when you came out and said, "No, I'm not going to do what I'm supposed to do. I lost the primary. I'm not going to go sit in my corner and do what I'm told. I'm coming out as an independent." I have rarely been as happy in the last 10 years as I was on that day. And it also made my ability to come out and fight as an independent feel more righteous. And the fact that I'm probably not just the only one out here tilting against windmills, shall I say.
Well, you have to try. You'll never succeed if you don't try.
Well, and I agree with you, and that's exactly the same way I feel. And I wish things were different. I wish that this wasn't what appears to be such an uphill battle. I wish that the media was what it's supposed to be, which is provide both sides and allow the individual to decide rather than preaching and hoping to push. And I do think that the one thing that you will be accomplishing, if nothing else, is I think you may be lifting some of the veil off of the position of our federal senators, and I do thank you for that as well.
Yeah. Well, thank you, and good luck on your race. I'm glad you're in. You know, we're right on the edge, but we should not give up hope. We need good people like yourself to get in 22, and we need another strong year in 24. If we can accomplish that, we can turn the country around.
Well, from your lips to God's ears, I know one thing. I was born a fighter, so I'm not giving up no matter what happens. And I do hope one thing. Number one, I hope you win. Number two, I hope if for some reason you do not win, that you remain a constant thorn in the side of the powers that be.
Yeah, I don't think I can help but do that.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that so much. And once again, thank you for the time, because I know you're busy, but God bless and good luck.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. It was a pleasure.
It was a pleasure to meet you finally. Thank you so much, sir. All right, everybody. That is Common Sense Uncensored for another week. Everybody, do your research. Vote well. Hasta la vista, babies.